Mysteries of the Unknown, UFOs, Alien Abductions, Wonders of the World, Ancient Archaeology, Ghosts, Apparitions, Secret Military Projects, Futuristic Science, Government Cover-Ups, Hoaxes and Frauds. Join us as we embark on another edition of the Paranet Continuum. Now, answering questions and questioning answers, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense paranormal talk radio. Tonight we're going to talk about a very controversial subject, one that's been going on back and forth now for probably close to a year, if not a little bit longer. The question is, does the Bible contain a startling hidden code unlocking the secrets of the Bible and of even creation itself? Is it something that a computer can do or whatever? But the question is, have computers allowed us to crack that code? Now, the claim that hidden prophetic messages are contained within the original Hebrew letters of the Old Testament has captured the attention of believers and skeptics alike. Even leading scientific experts and mathematicians have wondered if this could actually be a new revelation from God. My guest tonight is the respected researcher John Weldon, who co-authored a book called Decoding the Bible Code, Can We Trust the Message? And of course, this follows a book that was published by a similar title about the Bible Code by Michael Drosnin. But my guest tonight is John Weldon. He's authored and co-authored more than 75 books, including the Facts On series and the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs. He has a master's degree in sociology and biblical studies and a doctorate in comparative religion. And we're going to be talking to him tonight about his book, again, Decoding the Bible Code, Can We Trust the Message? And let's see, if you want to give us a call tonight, the number is 1-800-836-2009. Again, that number is 1-800-836-2009. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program tonight, John Weldon. John, thank you for being with us.
Michael, it's my pleasure to be with you.
Listen, before we get into depth in this thing, give me a thumbnail sketch of what your book, Decoding the Bible Code, is about.
Basically, it takes a sympathetic, although primarily critical, look at the fundamental claims of the proponents who argue that there is a hidden or secret code within the Bible. And so it's designed really to be a primer for people that are, you know, may have heard about the Bible Code or read about it, but really don't know quite what to make of it. I've tried to be very fair in terms of looking at the evidence for the code, and yet also raised a number of what I think are pertinent issues and questions that I think need to be dealt with before people place any real trust in the code.
Okay. Now, before we get any further into that, let's kind of work the history of this. How did this controversy arrive? Where did the idea come from that the Bible may contain a hidden code?
Well, actually, in seed form, the idea first came apparently from the Kabbalah or Kabbalism, which is a form of Jewish mysticism and occultism, which seems to have begun in first century Palestine related to the Merkava mysticism present there, and then the Kabbalah kind of flowered in the Middle Ages. But all along there were these this idea that the Torah in particular, the first five books of the Bible, contain a secret hidden code. Now there's really two different approaches that we see to the code today, and neither of those approaches necessarily have gone back to the full implications of the code as found in the Kabbalah. For example, the Kabbalah teaches that the code actually, you know, it's not just like what Michael Drosnin has done in his book, The Bible Code, that has become a bestseller, where he says that the code talks about all the major events of world history. the code allegedly, according to the Kabbalah, contains every single iota of information in the creation.
Okay.
You know, major events, minor events of world history, the life histories of plants, the down to the very smallest detail, the histories of every person who will ever live from Adam and Eve onward are supposedly recorded in code in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And so the that initial approach toward the code, because you've got historical interest in it expressed among Jewish believers and scholars in the, of the Kabbalah, back in the early part of this century, a Jewish rabbi found that if you skipped every 50 letters in the book of Genesis, taking every 50th letter, you would spell Torah again and again.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
And about 10 or 15 years ago, some Israeli mathematicians and scientists, who knew about this, decided, maybe it would be possible to use computers to see whether or not there's anything, really legitimate here. And so what they did was they took the entire book of Genesis and they strung it out, and they began with the first letter and they strung it out all the way to the last letter, basically in one long line of 78,000 plus letters. They programmed that into a computer.
Wow, okay.
And at that point, they programmed the computer to start skipping, because the idea of the code is that you have to have a strict skip sequence. You can't skip every 5th, 7th, 13th, 9th letter. It's got to be every 2nd letter, every 3rd letter, every 4th letter, every 5th letter. So they programmed the computer to start skipping every 2nd letter and then every 3rd letter, all the way down to every nth letter.
Uh-huh.
And what they claim to have found were the names and birth or death dates of 32 famous Jewish rabbis or sages from the 9th to the 18th or 19th centuries encoded in the book of Genesis. And they checked and double-checked and triple-checked their methods and then finally submitted it for publication to Statistical Science, which is a peer-reviewed, a respected peer-reviewed journal. And it underwent, an unbelievable almost six-year review process before it was finally published.
Okay.
And the editors, of course, didn't know, what to make of it. They just said they're publishing this as something of interest. Anyway, at the time that these guys were doing their serious research into the code, Michael Drosnin had become fascinated with the idea, and he was initially a skeptic, as many people were, and then they get into the code, and for various reasons they become converted into belief in the code. He was a skeptic who became converted to belief in the code, who kind of extended what the original researchers had done, going somewhat back to the Kabbalistic view that, the entire future is hidden in code. And so, he would program the computer to look for things like Armageddon or World War III. And, of course, that is what I think sparked the interest of so many people, because you've got a triad of factors here that are innately fascinating. You've got, number one, the Bible, which is, if not the most respected, one of the most respected books in history. You've got computers, which, of course, are innately fascinating with what they can do with information.
Right.
And you've got the concept of a hidden secret code that reveals the future. And, of course, all kinds of people are interested in something that allegedly reveals the future.
Okay.
So I think it's those factors that have really sparked a lot of people's interest in the code.
Okay. John, we're going to stop right there and take a break. When we come back, we'll get into some other interesting questions, like, is the evidence for a code truly convincing? Are Bible codes accurately predicting current events? And many other questions with my guest, John Weldon. The book, Decoding the Bible Code, Can We Trust the Message? Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-1000. MasterCard.net1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today.
Paranet wants you to know. In April, the Paranet Continuum will be on the air 4 years. We couldn't have done it without your support, so this is our way of saying thanks. If you've been listening for a while, you're pretty familiar with our skeptical believer approach to this whole paranormal business. Yes, there are plenty of very strange things going on that science, governments, and a whole variety of belief systems have trouble explaining, and we're not here to flatly debunk everything. We just don't buy into many of the more popular explanations for these phenomena, and we think some more critical thinking is necessary. This makes us very unique in a world where the paranormal seems to be everywhere in the media, on TV, other talk shows, and big-budget movies. And some of the wildest explanations get the most attention. Many people like our approach. Of course, some folks are mad at us. Oh well. With your continuing support of this radio show, our website, and the magazine Continuum, we hope to keep everybody thinking and talking well into the future. Again, thank you. We are Paranet Information Services.
Listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet Continuum, and it deals with some of the most fascinating mysteries around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbett.
And of course, our number is 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. We're talking with John Weldon tonight. He is the author of an interesting book that's been released recently. Harvest House is the publisher. Of course, it's available in all major bookstores and Christian bookstores. And the book is called Decoding the Bible Code, Can We Trust the Message? And as you've heard already, John has framed the mystery here for us. This is a very complex issue, and there's many things going on, and we're going to work at endeavoring at picking this apart and getting to the bottom of some of this. Welcome back, John.
It's good to be back again.
Okay, let's start off by talking about the where you come into this. I know that Drosnin has drawn some fire from the original researchers that claimed that this code exists. And of course, you know, as you mentioned, he did do some extended work and then published his book. Basically, how was the code discovered?
Well, it was discovered over a period of several years by these principles that published in Statistical Science.
Uh-huh.
Those are the ones that have allegedly confirmed that a code exists. You know, now I would disagree with that, but certainly they have put together some very interesting material. And the reason why they're down on Michael Drosnin is because he's done what they claim can be done, that is, use the code to predict the future. They say, look, you can't really know if you've got a meaningful information in the code unless you know exactly what you're looking for, which means that something has to be in the past, before you can actually go out and see whether or not something has been predicted. It already has to have happened.
Okay.
Now, that's legitimate at one level and not necessarily legitimate at another level.
Okay.
According to Drosnin, it seems, if you read his book, a couple of the principal researchers seem to have gotten into the predictive capacity of the code. For example, during the Gulf War, the code allegedly predicted the specific date of the beginning of the war and the day of the first Scud missile attack. And so, you know, they saw that there in the code before it happened, and then it came, you know, turned out to be true later on. When you look further into it, it seems like there were a series of days that were predicted, and all of them apparently were days that the Israeli intelligence services had on very high priority for, you know, an attack upon the nation.
Okay. Now, I know that this this thing was basically, there is evidence for the code, as you've mentioned. However, how is this evidence for the code converted skeptics and scientists alike?
Well, mostly because it's a statistical issue. What we're looking at really is something that on the surface, it appears that the odds are so small that this kind of information could be found that it's very difficult to explain away rationalistically. And of course, the whole idea behind the code is that the only way you can explain this is through a divine mind. In other words, God. All the principal researchers in the code are Jewish. Michael Drosnin is Jewish. A more serious technical study by psychiatrist Jeffrey Satnover is Jewish. Harold Gans, who not only was a skeptic and duplicated and verified the research published in Statistical Science, he also went further, did his own research, and found that the cities of birth or death of the Jewish sages were also encoded in Genesis, and so he became a convert. So it's largely sparked interest among Jewish people, and there's in fact been apparently a significant number of Jews in Israel who have converted from skepticism or secularism or atheism back to belief in the Torah as a divine revelation as a result of the code. So there's certainly enough intriguing things that seem to be there to make people who are initially skeptical step back and take another look and say, now, wait a minute, there seems to be something here. How can we really explain this apart from something that, must involve an omniscient intelligence?
Let's take a look at the science of statistics for just a moment. Couldn't it be, or wouldn't it be fair to say that, statistics can be skewed in favor of the statistician?
Yeah, well, you've got the old phrase that there are lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Right.
And, I think part of the problem here is that we know very little about how sequences of letters behave when they're not written by an author, but instead put together by a program in a computer. I think it's very interesting that if you look at the kinds of things that Drosnin has found in the code, apart from the fudging aspect that we'll get into later.
Okay.
But if you just look at the things that he claims to have found, skeptics have found the same thing in non-biblical literature, in whether it's Hebrew or English.
Oh, they have.
Yes, and
so this isn't exclusive to the Bible. This type
and that's a very important point, because the claim is that it is exclusive to the Bible, but other literature has been checked in the Hebrew, and the code was not found. Michael Drosnin makes the claim. Gans and Whitsum make the claim. They're the authors, two of the three authors of the original article in Statistical Science. And so the fact that what we find in Drosnin's book, has been duplicated, similar things, tends to make me think that, well, if you simply get a string of letters long enough,
you're going to find combinations.
Yes, and you have a computer to work with that you can come up with just about anything. Now, it's true that there's more detailed and specific information in the Statistical Science report. However, a mathematics expert at the Australian National University, Brendan McKay, claims on his website page to have duplicated the results of the Statistical Science article, and that is that he has actually found the names of the 32 rabbis using the Hebrew of Tolstoy's War and Peace, and using the same methodology and having Hebrew scholars check the spellings of the names, just as was done in the original piece. So I think if that is legitimate, and if additional critical research continues to bring out these kinds of things, then I think it's pretty obvious that we don't really have a Bible code. We simply have something that can be found in any document of sufficient length.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now let's look at it from this angle then. What are the implications of the Bible code itself? In other words, you've got these folks over on this one side that are saying that it's exclusive to the Bible, although it's not, apparently, or it's going to become revealed that it's not. What are the implications? What are they trying to sell us?
Well, to be fair, Whitsome, according to Satinover, again, Satinover has published, I think, a respectable book on the code called Cracking the Bible Code. In his book, he claims that Whitsome is going to publish, not just, one major experiment that was published in Statistical Science on the Jewish sages, but seven additional experiments of more complexity, hundreds of additional examples, and really lay out his methodology for the critics to evaluate. When that book is published, I think we're going to see this raised to a whole new level. So we can't say that the Bible Code really has been disproven yet because of this additional research that's coming out. It only looks like it's been disproven.
Right.
Personally, I don't believe that there is a Bible Code. I don't have any problem if there really is a Bible Code. I mean, I'm a Christian. If God wanted to encode the Bible and then pleased him to do so, that's up to him.
Okay.
But I do have a problem with the implications of people saying that there is a code if, in fact, the evidence at this point is not that convincing, because there are a lot of implications. I mean, on the positive side, of course, if there really is a code, it would be very difficult to explain that code apart from divine omniscience.
Okay, John, let me interrupt right there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another break. When we come back, I want to get into these implications that you're talking about, both the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Very good. John Weldon is my guest tonight, Decoding the Bible Code. Can We Trust the Message is the book. Harvest House is the publisher, and of course, John co-authored the book with Clifford and Barbara Wilson, and it's available in all major bookstores and Christian bookstores alike. Very interesting, and this is a very interesting controversy. Stay tuned. 1-800-836-2009 is our number. What do you think? Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet, and during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
Thank you.
is the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs and the paranormal. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network on the paranormal, call us at 303-863-0484 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Welcome back, my guest, John Weldon, and our number tonight is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Of course, the questions we're talking about tonight, does the Bible contain a startling hidden code unlocking the secrets of the Bible and even of creation itself? And have computers allowed us to crack that code? John Weldon is joining us from Hawaii. And, John, we've got a caller calling in from, this is kind of an interesting guy, Dave is calling in, listening on KNZZ in Grand Junction, and Dave is in Tucson. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Thanks for giving us a call. You're on the line with John Weldon.
Okay. Let me ask, why does your guest believe that it requires omniscience?
Okay, Dave, because of the amount of detailed information that you find in the code, now I know that Drosnin in his book thinks that if you have simply an extremely advanced alien intelligence, that would be sufficient to account for, for the code, and I assume Drosnin believes the Bible as well. The difficulty with that is that according to the Kabbalah, if you go back, the specific detail of every person's life is listed in the code. If that is true, no amount of finite intelligence is going to be sufficient to have that laid out, in advance. It would require omniscience.
Well, before I make a further comment, I'd like to question your statement. The Bible itself is a finite work, right?
Well, it depends on what your premise is about the Bible. In other words, the Bible...
What I mean by that is limited, it's of limited length, it has a limited number of letters.
Yeah, finite in that sense, sure.
Right. So, in order to check the veracity of that statement of everyone's life on Earth that's ever lived, you'd have to have knowledge in order to verify that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a claim, but it's unproven. If what I'd suggest is that if the coding is indeed true, I mean that it gives this amazing or astounding information, then what it'd require is supra-human intelligence.
What do you define that as, Dave?
Well, above our current capability. For instance, let's say a time traveler. Now, I'm not saying it's possible, and to me it seems unlikely, but if somebody could actually travel through time and have access, I'm speculating, I have no idea how it could be accomplished, but had a means where they could gather certain types of information and actually encode it in a certain way, and humans being at this stage of development are able to unravel that code, then it would, appear godlike were that to actually occur. But if they had enough time, if they had the means and the motivation, I can't understand what the motivation would be.
But, I guess, David, to me it would require, a bit more faith to believe that X number of super intelligences that are finite could have produced the material allegedly in the Bible code as opposed to, an infinite being. In other words, the amount of detailed information, who knows how many billions of people have lived from the time of the first man. But,
well, that proves my first point, I think, where I said you'd have to have knowledge to be able to check the veracity.
Well, yeah, and of course...
I think what really bothers me, and probably some of your listeners as well, is that it begs the question, and I don't think it's really fair to expect rational people to accept something like the explanation of omniscience to necessarily explain this. I don't know that it actually does explain it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you otherwise you would explain it.
Well,
aside
it
from
requires
the
certain intelligence. And,
oh, sure it does, and it requires a personal intelligence. It's not some force out there that is impersonal.
But don't you think that it's actually jumping kind of far ahead to say?
No, I don't. I think what you're proposing is jumping ahead because we have someone who claims to be the author of the Bible. That's God. We don't have somebody named X-Man from time travel or any of that kind of stuff to even support that, you know, that belief that somebody like that provided us with the Bible. So, I mean, I think that's stretching. I think we got to deal with what we've got here to start with, and we're
well,
talking.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be argumentative. But,
that's all right.
If somebody gave you information that was about some future events, and you wrote those down, okay, and they came as it turned out, it came to pass or it turned out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you had an extraordinary means of gathering that information, just beyond description or explanation
right.
to someone else. In other words, they wouldn't believe you. If you said how you got that information, you wrote it down, and they read it later on, and in other words, they were able to, or with a group of people, decode that. Would that mean that? Would that necessarily mean omniscience? I don't think it would.
Well,
They wouldn't understand how you got that information and transferred
sure.
it.
It could be, you know, a series of good guesses. The difficulty is that based on what the code actually claims, you would have to have a complete knowledge of the future. Now, we know from human, you know, everything that we know about humanity that there's simply no way that people can have a, you know, completely accurate knowledge of the future. And, you know, it's simply impossible if we talk about the detailed information in the code, that you know, any kind of even alien intelligence would be capable of that.
I'd agree with that, but I think also that when you say omniscience, that doesn't quite explain how it occurred or how it happened.
My only point is just that you know, the premise of the code believers is that the only way you can rationally explain the code is by omniscience because of its detailed nature. In other words, that's the only thing that is really the adequate explanation for it if, in fact, the code exists. And, of course, that's exactly what the Bible itself does teach, that it is a divine revelation from an omniscient being.
Well, let me ask you one more question, then I'll say goodnight. Have there been any examples where predictions have been decoded and they turned out to be not true?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Drosnin has two of them in his book. In one instance, he predicted the code, you know, allegedly predicted that there was going to be a nuclear holocaust in Israel in 1995 and 1996, which didn't occur. And the other was that Tokyo would be evacuated during the poison gas attack in the subway from the Om Shinriko cult, which never occurred. So here are two clear predictions in the Bible code that did not
pan out.
Did not turn out to be true.
Okay. How do you reconcile that with omniscience?
Well, I don't believe in the code to begin with. In other words, I don't believe that there is a code. So
yeah, we haven't even determined, Dave, that this is even right on. You know, I got to take a break. So, thank you very much. Okay, hold that, John. We'll get back to that in just a moment. We're going to talk about the implications because I know this is going to go to an interesting place. I also want to talk a little bit more about Drosnin's idea about alien intelligences. I didn't know that. So we're going to find out about that too. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. My guest is John Weldon. His book is Decoding the Bible Code. Can we trust the message? We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today.
Paranet wants you to know. Did you know that Paranet Information Services was the first comprehensive paranormal and UFO information service of record? In 1986, Paranet was launched as an electronic news and information service dedicated to answering questions and questioning answers. Since Paranet's launch, we've expanded to a truly global organization linking research and investigative groups via our computer network, now on the Internet. This radio program is a mere extension of the vast knowledge base and experience Paranet has gained through thorough and timely reporting on events throughout the globe. Michael Corbin, Paranet's director, brings 10 years' experience to the Paranet Continuum. This program offers something that others can't and don't, an extensive focus on these issues. To learn more about Paranet, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-6381 or visit our website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Paranet Continuum is produced by Paranet Information Services, the world's oldest and most respected network of the paranormal. Now back to your host, the director of Paranet, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009 is our number to call. And of course, we're talking about the Bible Code, where the book is decoding the Bible Code. Can we trust the message? And the author, John Weldon, is on with us tonight. Now, John, you mentioned earlier that Drosnin has brought in something about alien intelligence as possibly the source of the Bible. Is that correct?
Yeah. In other words, see, it's interesting that even though he was a skeptic and spent 5 years studying this and became a believer, he still didn't conclude that the Bible Code was a result of a divine intelligence. He still didn't conclude that only God could explain this. He believed that it was probably the result of extremely advanced alien intelligences, which, you know, immediately opened up the door to UFOs and
other things.
Like that, yeah.
Okay, now, this is an observation of mine, and I'm sure that you probably have wondered this yourself. Why do we see so much of this going on today? Okay, it seems like, I don't want to mention any names, but we attended a lecture recently, and the person who is otherwise would appear to be a credible person, credentialed and the whole thing, starts going off on this wild tangent that mankind is the product of DNA being grafted from aliens onto apes. And, you know, the question I had, or the question that we proposed to this person is, why does this stuff always have to go in this direction? It seems like there's an agenda here.
Well, I think, well, boy, you know, that opens up a whole Pandora's box when you talk about, you know, for example, Valli's research into
right.
UFOs and his concept of an agenda that is going on related to UFOs. But I think part of the problem is, you know, it goes actually back to the kind of the crisis in the theory of evolution, that it's getting more and more difficult to explain the origin of humankind on purely material naturalistic means.
You're talking about Darwinian kind of stuff?
Yeah, or neo-Darwinian, yeah. The odds against it are so immeasurably vast. I just published a book at the same time the Bible Code came out called Darwin's Leap of Faith. And I'd wanted to do a critique of evolution for some time, and finally the means and the opportunity became available. But when you really do take a critical look, I used to be an evolutionist, and as a matter of fact, I used to be a skeptic of Christianity and a secular humanist. But when you really take a critical look at evolution, the evidence really isn't that convincing, and there's a lot of evidence against it, especially when you consider lack of fossil transitions and the second law of thermodynamics.
The science just isn't there.
Abilities.
Right? Is that correct?
Pardon me?
The science just isn't there.
It just isn't there, yeah. And the reason why most scientists are evolutionists is because of the philosophical premise, scientific naturalism, that skews the data into a particular naturalistic interpretation. There are other equally credible or more credible interpretations that are just as valid. But I think that one reason why many people are going back to what's called directed panspermia, the idea that somehow alien life is a result, that we are a result of alien life that has intervened for its own purposes to produce the human race, is simply because that allegedly solves the problem of spontaneous generation. All of a sudden, we don't have dead matter somehow producing life.
Right.
We have intelligent life producing life, which seems to make much more sense. The difficulty, though, is that it just pushes the problem back another notch. Where did that life come from? And you have to keep going back until finally you're almost forced into a divine creation perspective. It's very, very difficult to explain not only human life, but the existence of the universe itself on any other premise than divine creation. And I go into that in some detail in the book.
Now, let me ask you this. You're an educated man, and I know that you've devoted a considerable amount of time and effort to this work of yours. Would you say that these people, now, again, going back to the controversy between the original mathematicians and the scholars that actually have brought up this possibility that there's a Bible code, and Michael Drosnin, why do we see so many people who have credentials and seem to be or want to pass themselves off to be intellectual, but knowing that when they're, just like the last caller, Dave, we're grabbing at straws. We're trying to reach for something, if we're, I guess the thing is Occam's razor. We look at the obvious first.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
Well, yeah, I think that's valid to a certain level. Basically, I think people are searching for meaning in life. I think they're searching for purpose. The basic philosophical questions that people have always asked historically is, who am I? Why am I here? What happens when I die? And if you live in a relativistic culture, there aren't a whole lot of absolute answers. In fact, there aren't any.
Yeah.
And so people really are forced to grasp at straws, whether it's naturalistic evolution or UFOs or von Däniken or a whole host of other things.
I think the relativism muddies the whole issue.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is because once you abandon the concept of revealed truth, revealed absolute truth, you open up the door to belief in virtually everything, and the whole culture is flooded with irrationalism.
And we're falling apart.
As consequences.
Yeah, we're falling apart with that, too, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, this thing really, all this disturbs me. I mean, personally, I'm disturbed at what appears to be the complete breakdown of critical thinking, critical thinking.
I agree. There's nothing more important than teaching people to think critically. And
it's never failed us before, I don't think, has it?
No. I mean, as long as it's not rationalistic. I mean, there's a difference between rational thinking and rationalistic thinking. But no, I think that our culture is not being very well served today by the educational institutions. I think there's too many biases in their field. And I just don't think that people are being trained in critical thinking sufficiently to really, I mean, in the Bible Code, the classic example, and unfortunately there, to give an illustration, there are a number of Christian books out which claim that there are Yeshua codes, crisscrossing passages in the Messianic passages in the Old Testament, and the claim is that these Yeshua codes prove mathematically, statistically, that Jesus is the predicted Messiah of the Old Testament. Now, the difficulty is that, the people that wrote those books simply were not taking a critical enough look at the code research to begin with before they extended it. If you look at what they've done, you can not only prove that Jesus is the Messiah, you can prove that he's not the Messiah and that he's a false Messiah by the same methodology. Now, if those individuals had taken a more critical look, if people would take a more critical look at astrology or psychic healing or all kinds of things before they became involved with them, they would save themselves an awful lot of heartache.
We had a guy on last week, Andre Cole, who talks about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't find too much to disagree with the guy about. He's open-minded, and he's looking for the big smoking gun, but it just doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very difficult to scientifically prove, claims of the paranormal. I mean, they lie really outside the realm of science. But, the fact is there's an awful lot of fraud and misrepresentation of data in that whole realm of the occult. And, it's initially very alluring. It's fascinating. I mean, someone, believes that they've encountered a past life from hypnotic regression or someone gets into, spiritism. I mean, those things are all of a sudden, if you're into a kind of a relativistic worldview and you're not really sure about the meaning of life and you think you've contacted, highly advanced spirit or that you're going to be taught about your current problems because of a past life, I mean, that all of a sudden begins to give life more meaning, and you think you may have found the reason why you're here. And so there's an innate fascination and an innate alluring with much of this stuff, but the fact is that it's really quite dangerous. I wrote a book a number of years ago called The Coming Darkness, in which I documented that occult involvement is dangerous, and I quoted psychiatrists, I quoted Eastern gurus, I quoted former occultists, I quoted psychic counselors, all of whom, had, many, many case histories of people that had ended up with, very serious psychopathology, very serious physical ailments, and even things like possession actually being taken over by something as a result of what seemed like an initially a harmless pastime with the Ouija board or something like
sure.
that. So I think this whole area is something that it has an innate fascination, and yet it's also innately dangerous, and but people don't recognize that.
Okay.
That's the problem.
We got to go to another break, so stay, hold that thought, and we'll come back to that. John Weldon is my guest in Decoding the Bible Code. Can We Trust the Message is the book. Harvest House is the publisher. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet. And during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Who says you can't get something for nothing? The Paranet catalog contains detailed descriptions of all of the Paranet radio shows produced since April of 1994 and shows you how you can order them on audio cassette for as little as $5 each. Are you on the World Wide Web? You can join Paranet and get access to over 30 megabytes of text files and pictures, as well as real audio access to all of our past radio shows. Members also receive a subscription to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. The catalog shows you how to join. The Paranet catalog also has special book offers, t-shirts and sweatshirts with alien and outer space themes, and much more. And the catalog is yours free. Call now 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381 for your free copy of the Paranet catalog. That's 1-800-836-6381.
Whether it's online, fax, telephone, or radio, you're connected to Paranet, the world's most respected network of the paranormal. Now back to the Paranet Continuum and your host, Michael Corbin.
Of course, we're about out of time for the National Hour with John Weldon, and I'm going to have John wrap up this hour by answering this question. What is your main message, John, and the strongest advice for anyone who is interested in evaluating the Bible code for themselves?
I think that we need to basically let the experts sort it out and not waste our time on something that in a lot of ways is a diversion. A lot of people think the Bible code proves the Bible is divinely inspired. Well, you know, only if there is a code, and the fact is that that's not necessary to begin with. The scientific revision in the Bible, it's clear prophetic statements, it's archaeological confirmation historically, and the fact that the only man in human history to resurrect from the dead, Jesus, believe that the Bible was divinely inspired. You add that up cumulatively, that's a lot of very significant evidential evidence for the divine inspiration of the Bible. So the Bible code really is necessary for one of the main purposes that it's being used.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, listen, I want to thank you for being with us on the program tonight, discussing your book, Decoding the Bible Code. And, of course, we've got another hour coming up locally in the Denver area with John Weldon. So we'll pick up where we left off in just a few moments. If you want to reach me, you can do so by doing by calling 303-863-0484. Again, that number is 303-863-0484. My email address is mcorbin@dimensional.com, mcorbin@dimensional.com. And, of course, our website is www.paranet.org/paranet. Until next week, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.